Acts 16:30. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That question right there is what we're going to be discussing today. What must I do to be saved? I want to look at that because there's much controversy today about this. You know, we have the sinner's prayer and we have things like that. It's not true, but we have those things. So I want to look at this and see how we address this. So let's start with the question. Let's break it down and look at the words. We see it that it starts off with the word "what." This word suggests that there is something that must be done to be saved. The second word, "must." This means whatever it is, it has to be done. There are no exceptions. There's no ways around it. This is the way. "I." This makes it personal. It's not what other people have to do. It's what I have to do. "Do." This means that action is involved in being saved. "To be saved." This is the goal. The one who asks, and the saving must be done by another. So how do we answer this question? Do we answer it by our own thoughts, our own opinions, our own feelings? Of course, we have faults, so this would not be the best way to answer it. But the best way to answer it would be by the way we answer any spiritual question. That'd be going to the Bible. There's no better way to answer it than by going to the Bible. Nothing will be more true and more honest than the Bible. So let's take a look at this. There's only four times that this question is asked in the Bible. We're going to look at these and see what they say. So let's start off with the first one in Mark 10:17. This is the rich young man. And he asks, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom, or inherit eternal life?" We see that... We see that he refers him to the Ten Commandments. At this time, they had not been abolished yet because Jesus had not died on the cross. The young man replies to Jesus' answer with, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Then in verse 21, we get Jesus' reply. "One thing you lack, go and sell all you possess, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Now this is not the answer that we would give today because it was before the law had been the new law had been instated. That's Hebrews 9:16-17. Let me turn over there. Hebrews 9:16-17. "For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives." So we see that this would not apply to us. We don't keep the Ten Commandments to be saved nowadays. So the second time we see this question come up was with the Jews on Pentecost in Acts 2. "Brethren, what shall we do?" Acts 2:37.
The Bible would cooperate with me here.
2:37. In verse 38, Peter said to them, this is Peter's answer to their question of "what, brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." According to Acts 2:38, repentance is just as essential as baptism. They're joined together by the word and they cannot be separated. You can have repentance and you can have baptism, but if you just keep one of the or the other, you will not get salvation. It does not measure up to salvation. That's why they joined it with the word "and." The next time we see this question is being asked by Saul of Tarsus, which we know later becomes Paul. That's Acts 9 and verse 6. Now, if you're reading out of the New American Standard or the ESV, you'll notice that they cut the question out. But if you go back to the King James or the New King James, you'll see it there. Paul was a persecutor of the church at first. We can see that in Acts 7:58, chapter 8 and verse 1, chapter 26, 10 and 11. In his error, his conscience didn't bother him because he thought he was doing what was right. What he saw was right. But Jesus appeared to him on that road to Damascus, not to save him, but to appoint him as an apostle. Acts 26:16. Rather than tell him what he must do to be saved, he brought him to be an apostle rather than to tell him what to do to be saved. Christ did not tell Paul what he must do to be saved, but sent him to Ananias. That's 9:6. Ananias answered the question in Acts 22:16. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. It's baptism that stands between the sinner and the washing away of sins. The next time we see this question is in Acts 16 and verse 30. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is about the jailer. The jailer was an unbeliever and was alarmed by the earthquake. This is a man who had probably never heard a gospel sermon because there's no evidence to prove that he had. The answer that was given to the jailer is in verse 31. "Believe in the Lord and you will be saved." But is that it? No. We see that in verse 32 it goes on. And they spoke to them. So they heard, and when they heard, they developed faith. That would be Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But that's still not the end. In verse 33, the jailer and his household were baptized. So we've read three different answers to the same question. Some would say this is controversy. They don't match up, but this can be easily explained. The jailer was an unbeliever, so they told him to believe. Then after they preached to him, to develop faith, once the faith was developed, he repented and was baptized. The people on Pentecost, they had heard and believed, so Peter instructed them to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. Then Saul was a believing, penitent man. So he was told to be baptized and wash away his sins. They were all given different answers because they were in different stages of the road to salvation. When we can explain this when we're traveling. Let's say we want to take a trip up to New York. Well, when I first start off, I can ask you the question, how far away are we? And you might say, 1,769 miles. Well, then we keep driving down the road, and a couple hours later, and I ask you the question, same question. How far away are we? Oh, well, we're about 862. And then we get a little further, and I ask it again. Well, we're about 435 miles. See, the thing is that they were all on different stages. And so that's why the answers vary. But still, the answer to what must we do to be saved depends on where we're at. Maybe you have started this journey and you haven't been baptized. Or maybe you want to know more about this journey. Maybe you have studied and you want to be baptized. The water is ready for you. Come now as we stand and sing.
Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go.